It's 6:07. Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, thanks for tuning in this morning. Well, to many people, Lake Superior is the greatest of the Great Lakes. It certainly has always been that for me. For those who love the lake, each season has its own unique attractions. For many, Lake Superior provides an ideal late fall or early winter getaway. We're going to talk about what there is to do and see around the inland sea, Lake Superior, with the editor of Lake Superior Magazine, Connie LeMay, who joins me by telephone from Ashland. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning, John.
Okay, let's start with you. What's your favorite thing about Lake Superior, and why do you love it so much? And we only have an hour.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got 30 years of magazine, actually 32 coming on 33, and we're still not done talking about great stuff about Lake Superior.
Well, pick one.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's too many to pick one thing, but I can say I'm a local. I'm from Duluth, Minnesota originally, and what always stuns me is having Lake Superior as your horizon, as your focal point in your life. I mean, it's like the sky and the earth to people who live around here, because it is always in our view and on our horizon. It's a magnificent, mystical body of water.
And really, you know, whatever season it happens to be, the lake is pretty constant, but it can look different every day.
Yeah, and that it really is the amazing thing. I have spoken with lots of people who have windows toward the lake, and that's what they say. It's like theater. Every day is something different. There can be storms, or it can be still as glass, like a giant mirror. And every season, as you say, has its own peculiarities and wonderful things to watch.
So the fall colors, obviously long gone around the lake, and it was a beautiful fall.
It was spectacular this year. We were lucky enough to visit a couple of places around the lake here in Wisconsin, but also the Minnesota and Michigan shores were fantastic this year.
So the colors are gone, but still plenty to be seen. What should we be looking for around the lake this time of the year?
I think the fall, fall is actually one of my favorite times of year, because it's a comfortable time to get out and do some walking and hiking. And so that's what I would recommend for this kind of shoulder season time of year, where it's, you know, you're not going to get out the snowshoes and the skis quite yet, but it isn't the summer shirt sleeve weather, but it's a wonderful time for hiking. You won't get overheated, and there are so many trails around the lakeshore that it's a good time of year to take up some hiking.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that this time of the year, the lake is actually our friend in terms of temperature. It can actually be warmer next to the lake than it can inland.
Exactly, and it's also for I'm one of those people who love storms, and so this is the time of year when we start getting excited about the possibility of a few good blows on the lake too. Now, mind you, I'm not on an oar boat on the lake, so I take a different kind of a tourist view of it. But when those spectacular waves start rolling in, that's a good time to go and watch the lake as well. There's a lot of lodgings around the lake, in fact, that have people who regularly call and say, can you tell me what the weather's like? And, of course, we're just about to hit the peak surfing season on Lake Superior in November, and then sometimes in January and February as well.
Cue the Beach Boys.
That's
peak
right.
Surfing, peak surfing season. Okay, you're going to have to tell me more about that.
Well, Lake Superior actually has some dedicated surfers, and the interesting thing is one of the heroes of surfing, of popular modern surfing, happens to be a guy from the Washburn area, Tom Blake, long since passed, mind you, but he's in the Hall of Fame of both the National Hall of Fame for swimming and surfing. And he became a friend of some of the major movers of the modern surfing movement and created the fin on the surfboards that helps to stabilize the board. And so he actually did surf Lake Superior too. And now there's surfing clubs that come up and they watch for certain kinds of weather in certain places where you're going to get the big rolling waves. It's not the same, mind you, as having a wave curl over you on the ocean, but it can be a pretty exciting ride, I'm told, and it also looks very chilly, I have to say. A lot of them wear wetsuits, complete wetsuits, of course, to go out and surf in the lake.
Yeah, you'd have to do that, because even in the fall when the water has been warmed all summer, it's still pretty chilly.
That's right, yep, and usually they're out there in sometimes near blizzard conditions. So they're actually out there in the snow. As long as those big rollers are coming in, that's what they're looking for.
Man, that's dedication to a sport.
That's one word for it, yes.
The other word is insanity.
That's right.
I don't want to question anyone else's sanity because I don't want them to question mine.
A kind of joyous insanity, perhaps.
Well, there you go. Reckless abandon,
there
maybe
you go.
would be another way to put it. So what's the best way to appreciate the lake? By foot, by car, by boat, some other way?
It really depends, and that's also what's nice about the lake. It depends on your ability to get out and about. If you can do it, I think the best way always is to get out of the car and get down by the shore on the sand beaches or the rock or the pebble beaches, which Lake Superior has plenty of all of those things. But getting down, feeling the wind, hearing the waves, that's the way to appreciate the lake, really. But if your ability is not to be able to do that, there's plenty of nice drives and wonderful areas. And the lake is the attraction, of course, but there's also, we have some wonderful wooded and forested areas around the Bayfield Peninsula, of course. There's also the orchards. There's an orchard loop that you can take for driving, and this is the harvest season, so it's also a good time to go and take a look at some of the regional farms and see what they've got that they've just taken out.
And they will probably offer to sell you something.
I bet they would, yes. And also, besides the kinds of produce and products, they also do everything from jams to wines. So it's a good time of year to get out and visit the farms as well.
Well, Connie, I know you and I could probably spend the entire hour and not exhaust all the topics there are to talk about regarding Lake Superior, but this is a call-in talk show, so I want to get our listeners involved. And so here, those of you who've tuned in this morning, here is a question for you. What is your favorite lake fall or winter, early winter activity on Lake Superior? Do you have a favorite town, a favorite park, a favorite landmark that you like to visit? Is there something that you would recommend that people check out if they're going to be up that way? What's your favorite Lake Superior memory? Lots of questions that you could answer for us this morning. And maybe you have a question about the area that Connie could answer for you. We're talking about Lake Superior and the things to do and see at this time of the year around the greatest of the Great Lakes, Lake Superior. And it's going to be a beautiful day wherever you are in Wisconsin today. Mostly sunny. Temperatures will be in the upper 30s to mid-40s across the state of Wisconsin. So be a great day to get out and go for a nice long hike, I think. Here's the way it looks around the state this morning. Clear skies and 20 degrees up in Superior, 20 also, and clear in Eau Claire. Some scattered clouds in Oshkosh, 34 there. It's 35 and clear in Green Bay. Clear skies in Milwaukee with 38, La Crosse with 25, Wausau with 22, and in Madison, 28 and clear. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's almost 18 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Rob Ferret is on for Ben Marins later this afternoon. And after 3 o'clock, well, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I think you know where those words came from. They first crawled up movie screens in 1977, and they embody a film series that is still resonating with fans today. And that excitement will extend to a future generation with the recent announcement of 3 new Star Wars films. After 3 this afternoon, Rob Ferret and his guest dive into the Star Wars franchise, examine why it's remained so popular over the years, and discuss the level of devotion its fans have shown for over 35 years. Boy, that should be a great hour. I'll have to tune in. You should too. This hour, we're talking about one of the wonders of the world, Lake Superior. Connie LeMay, the editor of Lake Superior Magazine, is on the phone with us, and you can be too at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also use our email address, which is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And the Joy Cardine program is on Facebook. And you can leave your comment or question there as well. We want to know, what's your favorite late fall or winter activity in the Lake Superior region? And maybe you've got some favorite place. Maybe it's a park, a town, a landmark that you like to visit. Let us know. 800-642-1234. We have John with us in Rhinelander. John, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, John and Tommy.
Hi.
Hi. I have 2 favorite places, and one is the Bayfield to Madeline Island connection. We took boats across, and then we went to the state park on the opposite side of Madeline Island and swam. And the other is swimming on the Ashland beach, which is really shallow, so it warms up nice. And I have 2 questions. How low is the lake currently compared to what it used to be? And next is, how big were the waves when the Edmunds Fitzgerald went down?
In terms of the lake level, the lake is really changing up and down, and it turns out that that's kind of a historic event, that the lake has had some very highs and very lows. I'd say right now we're a few inches below what our average, what they call the average lake level would be. This summer especially, the lake has changed considerably because, as you recall, early in the year in June, there was a deluge of water, and it actually, according to some of the researchers that I spoke with, had raised the lake 4 inches during that early part of the summer. But by the end of the summer, we actually were a little lower than last year. But the lake fluctuates pretty greatly. We're not as low as we had been a few years ago. We actually hit a couple of record lows, and we're not near that level now. We're pretty well above what that low record level is. So the lake is kind of where we would expect it, maybe a little lower than what would be our average. In terms of the Fitzgerald, and it was about this time of year when that tragedy occurred, I've heard waves as high as 30 feet. We had a book a few years ago called The Night the Fitz Went Down, where our author, Hugh Bishop, talked with Captain Dudley Paquette, who was on one of the ore freighters on the lake that same night. And they were talking about what they call green water breaking on the pilot house. And if you know ore boats, you know that the pilot house is, it's like a multi-story building in height. And green water actually is more like the center of the wave. It's not the crest of the wave. So that tells you how incredibly high the surge waves could be that evening.
So there have been some a number of storms where we've had waves of a pretty significant size on Lake Superior, and unless you're out on the lake, it's fun to watch, but you don't want to be out there in the middle of it. As far as the lake level is concerned, most people don't understand how small the watershed that feeds Lake Superior actually is. It's just really a few miles inland around the lake, where the various streams and things coming into the lake provide the water. And if winter is where we don't get a lot of snow, there's not a lot of runoff.
It's incredibly small for such a large body of water. The other thing that's been very detrimental the last few winters is because Lake Superior has such a large surface area, it hasn't frozen. The lake rarely completely freezes over, and if it does, it's only for actually hours where they would call it a complete freeze. But it usually does have a fairly good ice covering during portions of the winter, and these last few winters, it's hardly had any. And because the water retains the heat from the summer, the lake ends up being warmer than the air all winter, which is the perfect conditions for major evaporation. And that's also been a concern and a problem with the lake level. The other thing people probably don't realize about Lake Superior is that we actually have water that would be going to the Hudson Bay being diverted into Lake Superior. And so the lake is raised, I've heard, by as much as 2 inches by that water diversion. The other interesting thing is that this was back in, I believe, the 30s and 40s, and the idea was not to raise, by the way, the lake level of Lake Superior. The idea was that it would make a more consistent water flow down toward Niagara Falls, where they have major power generation. But that does influence the lake's water level, and it actually means that we're probably a few inches lower than we normally would be.
Let's take another call, this time Nikki in Green Bay. Nikki, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being there. My fiance and I took a trip around Lake Superior fall. In September, we started up in Copper Harbor, and then we came around to Bayfield, and it was absolutely gorgeous. We ended up staying at a bed and breakfast in Bayfield that was called Rittenhouse, and I think it's Rittenhaus. It was absolutely amazing, but the lake was beautiful, and the colors were perfect, and it was actually a golfing tour. And so we spent.
So you played. You played Apostle Highlands, I assume, if you stayed in Bayfield.
Unfortunately, due to injury, we missed that. But we heard a lot about that course, and we were very much looking forward to going there. We're planning to return next fall. It was just beautiful, and there was so much to do. We ran out of time way before we ran out of things to do.
Well, that's what we like to hear, that you need to make another trip back. Lake Superior Magazine recently did a best of the lake listing that the readers sent in on, and you should visit that because the Rittenhouse Inn definitely was on the list of best places, and many of the things you're talking about were on that list as well. And yeah, it is a fantastic historic inn.
And I want to come back to that, but I'd like to get one more call in before the news on the half hour here. So let's go to Mount Horeb and hear from Catherine. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning. I was calling to just, I have lots to say about Lake Superior, but I just wanted to say our last trip up to Ashland, which is one of our favorite places, my husband was enthralled with the ore dock that's been taken down. They're taking it down. I was wondering if it is down or what the status of it is.
Not down yet. It'll take quite a while. The ore dock is still up at this point.
And that's that. That ore dock is a lot of people don't recall the time when Ashland was producing. That area was producing a lot of iron ore, and it was being shipped on down the lake on the big boats that would come in. 4 ore docks in Ashland at one time. 1 left, and it's coming down. And that was a little bit of a controversy in Ashland, wasn't it, Connie?
Yes, well, it's interesting because that's been happening at other places in the lake, too. Marquette, Michigan, they had an ore dock that was no longer being used, and they were making some decisions about whether to remove it or not. In that case, I believe they actually made it into lodgings or condos, and so they decided to keep their ore dock. But here, the decision with the people who own the property was to remove it. And that was a controversy because it's interesting, these sorts of things. We were just, I was just discussing it with some local people yesterday, and it's the kind of thing where if they were considering building an ore dock, because they're a major, massive structure, obviously, they're might also be controversy if it were going to be built or put up at this time. But once it becomes part of your landscape, then it's like a city landmark. And it is one of those things that people regret having it being taken down at this point. It also ended up being a nesting site for peregrine falcons, and so they're trying to encourage the nesting pair to find another place nearby.
Hmm. Wow. 800-642-1234. In just a moment or so, we're going to be taking a break for news, and we also have a Wisconsin Life segment. But between now and then, think about your own experience of the Lake Superior region. Let us know what's your favorite town or park or landmark to visit, something you recommend people do if they're going to be up in the Lake Superior area. Maybe you've got a favorite memory of Lake Superior as well. Whatever. Maybe you have a question for Connie LeMay. Those are all fodder for the discussion here this morning at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson, and Connie LeMay is with me by phone from Ashland. We're talking about Lake Superior and all the things that there are to do and see around the Great Lake. And we've just kind of scratched the surface. A couple of things I want to get into after the news, Connie. I know that there are 5 national parks around Lake Superior, and I'd like to get your take on those when we come back. We're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll have a Wisconsin Life segment, as I said, and when we come back, we'll talk more about all the things there are to do and see this time of year around Lake Superior. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on this Friday morning. Well, it's time for this week's edition of Wisconsin Life. When the leaves fall and the temperatures drop, our meals tend to get hearty, rich, and warming. Today, commentator Brett Laidlaw introduces us to one of his favorite meals.
When most Wisconsinites think of sauerkraut and sausage, they likely think of a bratwurst draped in kraut, smeared with mustard, and consumed at a football tailgate party or in the roaring bleachers on a crisp autumn afternoon. That is a classic Wisconsin snack for sure. But have you ever considered that your fermented cabbage might have a higher calling? Wisconsin is justly proud of its Germanic heritage, but my favorite way to do sausage and kraut is a dish that speaks German with a French accent. It's called choucroute garnie, and while it comes from the province of Alsace in northeastern France, its gastronomic pedigree is clearly German. Alsace has a fascinating and messy history, claimed alternately by France and Germany since the 17th century. Everything about the region reflects its complex heritage. The architecture is Tyrolean, but the culinary sensibility is French. The casual eateries are Bierstubas, but they are surrounded by vast vineyards that produce glorious white wines, some of the best in France. In the capital city of Strasbourg, whether you order a flammekuchen or a tarte flambée, you'll be served the exact same dish, a pizza-like treat topped with smoked bacon, onions, and creme fraiche. But back to the sauerkraut. Choucroute means crunchy cabbage in French, and so choucroute garnie is crunchy cabbage with garnish. But if your idea of garnish is that sprig of parsley or a slice of lemon on the side of the plate, well, this is something entirely different. The garnish, in this case, is mounds of meat, mainly pork, smoked and cured sausages, chunks of bacon, ham, and smoked pork hock. This is a garnish of a distinctly German sort. To prepare chucrut garni, the sauerkraut is rinsed and drained, then simmered with flavorful vegetables, bacon, wine, and stock. The meats are all cooked ahead and then warmed on top of the sauerkraut just before serving, so the flavors blend. It's served with potatoes and lots of dry white wine, preferably Riesling. Good sauerkraut is the key to a great chucrut garni, and it's actually something that's really easy to make at home. You just shred up cabbage, mix it with salt, pack it into mason jars, and let it sit at cool room temperature for a week or so, then refrigerate. It keeps a good long time, and it beats anything you can buy at the grocery store. It's fresh, crunchy, tangy, and a little bit sweet. This is a great time of year to make sauerkraut after the cabbage has been mellowed by frost. Then if you want to simply top your brat or hot dog with a forkful, that's fine. I eat it that way all the time. But you should also consider letting it achieve its higher destiny as chucrut garni. It's a feast of a distinctly northern sort, a rare example of German and French cooperation, and a wonderful thing to eat on a cool autumn night.
Brett Laidlaw is the author of the cookbook and blog Trout Caviar. You can find a recipe for chucrut garni at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is produced by Ann Strainchamps and Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from the Mead Witter Foundation of Wisconsin Rapids. For more information, visit our website and find us on Facebook. Well, for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking with Connie LeMay, editor of Lake Superior Magazine, about fun things to do on and around Lake Superior. And Connie, the caller just before the news was talking about doing a golfing tour around Lake Superior, and there are a lot of really great places to play golf around the lake. And she happened to mention Bayfield. There are a number of good courses, terrific courses over that way. But the lake is literally ringed with great places to play golf if that's your sport.
It is, and some are highly challenging courses. There's near Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, that actually is considered one of the best overlooks of the lake. One of the holes has a fantastic view of the lake, and because it's near where the maritime traffic goes, you can often see an ore freighter going by as you're getting ready to go on to the next hole.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Joe writes on Facebook, my favorite place on Lake Superior is Gooseberry Falls on the North Shore. It's a great place for a short hike with spectacular views. I also really enjoy Split Rock Lighthouse. My favorite time to hit these places is late September when the colors start to turn. And don't forget the Duluth area. The Lift Bridge and the Copper Tower are great highlights of Lake Superior.
All wonderful places to go, and Gooseberry is one of the most popular parks around the lake as well. You know, John, I think, though, it would be fair if we asked you where you take guests when they come to visit Lake Superior.
Wow. I guess it depends on what time of the year it is, but I'll tell you where I like to take them to get a flavor of the lake, and depends on how much time we have. But within, say, 80 miles of the Duluth Superior area, which is where my home is, if you drive, State Highway 13 along the South Shore, you get some spectacular views of the lake. And if you take Highway 61 on the Minnesota side on the North Shore, you get equally spectacular but different views of the lake. And our Facebook poster mentioned Split Rock Lighthouse. That's a great day trip to make from the Twin Ports. But even if you just go over to Duluth and go up on the Skyline Parkway and look out over the lake from there, that's always a great view. And then I have a few favorite restaurants I take people to, but I think I probably should keep those secrets to myself for the moment. I want to give the phone number again because I'm sure people have their own suggestions, and I'd like to hear them. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. What's your favorite thing to do around Lake Superior this time of the year? What would you take someone to? Maybe you're somebody who lives up here, and you've got some secret spot that you don't mind sharing with us that you think people would really like to know about. 800-642-1234. A previous caller mentioned the Rittenhouse, and they're about to start their Wassail concerts. That's always a great deal of fun over there, and there are a lot of arts oriented things going on around the lake as well, regardless of what time of the year it is.
Yes, that's right, and that's another. We're starting to gear up for the holiday season, and there's lots of different things going on around the lake connected to the holidays. In Hayward, they're going to be having an Allure of Lights, they call it, where they're starting with the 16th. Well, starting now, they're going to be having special light displays in their downtown area, and the same will be true of Bayfield on November 24th. They start their holiday tree lighting.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Bentleyville in Duluth is always a favorite.
That's right. And then just past Bentleyville, there's a woman, Marcia Hales, who lives on Park Point in Duluth, and for many, many years has had a wonderful walkthrough light display in her Park Point at her Park Point home, and one of the charms of that is that you actually get to walk by and hear the lake from her yard, and that's another wonderful place to see some holiday lighting.
We have some callers who want to join us. Let's start in Princeton and hear from Danielle. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I've spent a fair amount of time going back to Stockton Island. You drive up to Bayfield or wherever you're coming from, you can take the ferry over. I've gone back three times. The third time I took my two young sons, and the fun for us was taking the ferry over, landing, and then hiking into our campsite. You can even see bear if you're lucky.
That's a wonderful thing to mention. It's not something that a lot of people take advantage of, and what a wonderful trip. I bet your family loves that.
Oh, absolutely. You can just pick a site on the beach, and it feels really secluded and quiet, and it's a good place for kids to just pick up rocks, look for driftwood, things like that.
Yeah, that's another wonderful thing about the shore is kids don't have to worry about any tongue clucking. They can get out and move around and not worry about the having to sit still and not break things.
Yeah, that's for sure. Danielle, thanks for the call. She mentions Stockton, one of the Apostle Islands, and Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, one of five national parks around Lake Superior.
Yes, Lake Superior is really well situated for national park experiences. There are actually four national lakeshores designated in the United States, two on Lake Michigan, and two of them are on Lake Superior. In fact, I believe the first one ever designated was on Lake Superior. And all of the parks are wonderful areas. If I could tick them off, there's Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore in Michigan, Grand Portage National Monument along the North Shore near the Canadian border in Minnesota, the Isle Royale National Park is one that not a lot of people get to because you actually have to take a ferry over to the park, either from Michigan or from Minnesota. And then one of the newer national parks is the Keweenaw National Historic Park, and that's a very unusual and unique kind of park because it's not one space. It's actually many sites within the Keweenaw Peninsula of Michigan that are designated as part of this historic park, and it's more geared toward telling the history of people in the place.
Okay. Let's take another quick phone call here. We'll go to Wanakee and hear from Bruce. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning. Following up on this caller, one of my favorite things to do is to explore Lake Superior in a small sailboat. And oftentimes people think you need a large sailboat, we have a 25-foot sailboat that we've often put in at Ashland and sail up to Madeline Island and explore the Apostle Islands from that platform. And because when the weather is calm or nice, you can go to all these beautiful spots with a very small sailboat, and it's very enjoyable. We go to Tom's Burntown Cafe on Madeline Island, and we've also explored Isle Royale from after trailering our boat around to the North Shore. And so a small sailboat can be very fun on the lake.
And what a great way to experience the lake, to actually be out on it. And you can have a small sailboat, but you have to have a smart sailor in order to do it.
Yeah, that would be true. All right, Bruce, thanks for that. We're going to take a very short break, and then Connie will be back, and we've got some more callers. So please hang on. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. It's going to be a beautiful late fall day in the state of Wisconsin. Lots of sunshine everywhere you look, and temperatures from the upper 30s into the mid-40s, depending on where you live. Here's the way things look right now. It's clear just about everywhere except Milwaukee, where it's mostly cloudy and 38 degrees. Scattered clouds now in Oshkosh with 34. Clear everywhere else. 19 in Eau Claire, 29 in Madison, 34 in Green Bay, 25 in La Crosse, 22 in Wausau. And along the shores of the Big Lake in Superior, it's 20 degrees. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldier's Grove, Hales Corners, Slade's Corners, Abel's Corners, Newber Corners, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville.
If you're a regular listener to this program, you know what that music means. It's time to tell me where to go. And today I want you to tell me where to go around Lake Superior, 800-642-1234. We have callers lined up and ready to go. You could be one. There's still room for you at 800-642-1234. My guest is Connie LeMay. She's the editor of Lake Superior Magazine. So I guess you could tell both of us where to go. We'll start in Boscobel. And Chuck, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I grew up in the shadows of the Great Northern Ordock in the Eloise section. And so I guess the boat still and did sail on the Great Lakes, and also worked on the Great Northern Ordock for a while, viewing some of these as we shoved ore onto the dock and stood on the top of the pile of ore so we could relay signals. But my favorite place is really to view the lake is Thompson Hill Rest Stop in Duluth, and Canal Park, where you can get within almost elbow range of the ore boats. My question, though, had to do with Duluth Superior Harbor is going to be, or is already, much of it declared a national freshwater estuary. And I'm wondering how, and they do have a building on Barker's Island, I understand, but I wonder how that's going to affect tourism in the area, how it might affect many of these exotics that are found in Duluth Superior Harbor, and water quality in general.
Well, the Lake Superior National Estuary and Research Reserve isn't so much like a park or a restricted designation. It's mainly an acknowledgement of the critical nature of, and this is part of the St. Louis River Estuary. It's an acknowledgement of that estuary as a critical area. And so the reserve designation actually brings in money for research and education, and that's part of that center that you were talking about down at Barker's Island. And in fact, at some point, they're hoping to build in a visitor's component where people will be able to come in and see some of the work that's going on and get an experience to understand better the estuary.
Chuck, thanks. Thanks for the call. Gary in Sun Prairie, you're next. Gary, good morning.
Morning. What I wanted to say is I have a daughter who went to Stevens Point, and during her summers, she worked for the Forest Service in Munising. And one of the things we would go up and visit her, one of the things I learned from her is that out on Grand Island, there's actually a group of bears that migrate to the island in spring and migrate off the island in fall.
No, I have to say that's a new one to me, and now I'm jotting it down because it sounds like a good story for us.
It's true because they've done studies of them. The Forest Service has done a number of studies on them, and they trap them and they can identify them.
Wonderful.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that's interesting. That was a new one for me too. I guess that's one of the things about Lake Superior. There's always something new to learn. Gary, thanks for the call. Let's go to Marlon in Washburn next. Marlon, go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling to say that the Canadian North Shore of Lake Superior is a beautiful and remote place, and probably a little bit more difficult to get to. But well worth the time if you can find the time to get there.
It's definitely one of the more wild shores of the lake, and consistently too when people do the entire circle tour, because it's so little traveled by comparison to the rest of the lake, lots of people are stunned by the scenery and the dramatic cliffs in the wilderness that they pass through.
Yeah, that's a great idea. In fact, that's on my. I haven't done the circle tour yet, and that's my wife and I've talked about that, and that is part of our travel plan to get in the car and go around the lake. And of course, a couple not that long ago actually walked around the entire shoreline of Lake Superior, and we had them on the Ideas Network here a couple of months ago, I think.
Yeah, Mike Link and Kate Crawley, we released a book this year about their travels.
Karen in Woodruff called to say that she had the opportunity to see Lake Superior and Madeline Island by seaplane. She says it was just beautiful and was one of the best trips of her life.
There are so many wonderful ways to be able to experience the lake, and that is, again, one that's a rarity, but getting up and seeing the vastness of the lake and seeing the islands, especially in that area, would be beautiful.
We just have a couple of minutes left. One of the things we didn't really touch on very much was the great food that's available all over the place, a lot of unique places to stop and eat. Could you just hit some of the highlights for us?
Sure. There are the wonderful thing about Lake Superior is we have the region. We have wonderful places that are both gourmet and interesting local food. So I think more than picking places, because there are so many great places, what I would encourage people is try to look for those local local fare. For food. So ask about the whitefish, ask about the local produce, and many restaurants in the region are really looking toward getting a local component in their menus. So if you ask them what they have that was produced or caught locally, you'll get a really unique experience to the lake area.
So what would you recommend for someone who's never seen Lake Superior? What would you recommend as an entry point?
In terms of a place or...
Where would you, if someone who's never seen the lake, say, you know what, I've never been there, you know, what's one thing that I could do that would really give me a picture?
I think one of the things is, especially if, depending on what shore you're on, if you can get a little bit higher so you get kind of an overview of the lake, because it's not like an inland lake, obviously. It's like an ocean or a sea. And so being able to get a little bit of perspective is a fantastic way to see the lake. So look for those overlooks that have a little bit of height. And, of course, in Bayfield, you're able to get up high, and the same around the Duluth Shore. The Thompson Hill area that was mentioned earlier is a heart tug on anyone who's from the Duluth Superior area. That happens to be the entryway in as you're coming from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. And if you're from the lake, when you first come over the hill and see the lake, it's incredible what kind of a pull that has on you.
You,
and anybody
you know
from
home.
The region knows that.
Yeah, you know you're home. That's... Wow. Well, we're going to have to stop our journey here. And Connie, nice talking to you again, always. Connie LeMay, editor of Lake Superior Magazine, joined us by phone. Bill Martin's produced this hour of programming and also handled on-air production, thanks to Amanda Magnus, who directed this show. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. It's the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hey, smell that dairy.